Would you join me this morning in the book of Ezra? The book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. I once saw one of those sponges that's about that big until you drop it in water, then it goes woof. I think Mike kind of summed that up this morning when he was talking about the book of Luke. It gets bigger and bigger. There's more to it. And we've already spoke on the verse I want to look at here in Ezra chapter 3 this morning, but something else caught my eye. And we'd like to look at that. It's Ezra chapter 3, and I would like to read down through verse 5. Ezra chapter 3, 1 through 5. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Joshua, the son of Josedech, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases. I remember when we were there, how there is absolutely no room to deviate when it comes to God's salvation. There's no room to the right hand or to the left hand. It is all Christ or nothing. And that is what they're telling us. They put that altar right back where the original one was. Exactly. For fear was upon them because the people of those countries, and they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. And they kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. For 7 days they offered these offerings. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. As I was reading through this chapter in preparation for today's message, I had thought we would be a little further along. And this verse 5, there was a word that stuck out at me, that reached out to me, that this word is continual. It tells us in verse 5, they afterward offered the continual burnt offering. The word continual struck me as I read this. Continual. Think about that for a moment. Continual burnt offering. It reminded me somewhat of growing up with my mom and dad on a small farm in Northern California with cows, pigs, and chickens. How often did my parents ever take a vacation because there was continual feeding of that stock? And if you left, you had to find someone because the cows and the pigs and the chickens were not going to stop eating. They continually needed to be fed. I know people that can't leave their homes because there's all that to happen. I met folks that have been in continual pain. Never stops. I've met people that have continuous ringing in the ears. Continual. Never stops. I visited the cemetery at Arlington and went down to JFK's grave, and there was a continual fire burning at his grave. This word continual, used in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 5, is translated from a Hebrew word that is used often in the Old Testament. In fact, about 103 times in the Old Testament. And it is translated a number of different ways, but most of the time they are synonyms that we say, okay, I understand that. But the thought of having a continual burnt offering, continual burnt offering, every day, morning and evening, continual burnt offerings. Never a stop, never a ceasing. Now, I overheard a conversation in the kitchen this morning that about Julia going down to Guatemala, and she's going to see some things down there that other doctors see that I'm just not interested in seeing. Very little do we have in the scriptures about a description of an exact description of what these sacrifices went through. Most of them, they were slain and a burnt offering. Once in a while, we have a deeper description, and I kind of skip over that. But a continual burnt offering. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus for just a moment. Two or three verses of scripture out of the book of Exodus that help, to me at least, help me understand what this word continuous, continual. In Exodus chapter 25 and in verse 30. Exodus 25 and verse 30. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now, it was left there for about a week, but it was always to be there. It was perpetual. In fact, we find this word translated from time to time in the Old Testament as perpetual. The lamp was to burn always. It was not to go out. They were to take care of it on a daily basis. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 28, if you would, in verse 29. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 29, we have the same word again used but translated here. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 29, the scriptures share this, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. He continually wore this breastplate when he was representing the people of the Lord, when he was representing Israel. This word has been translated, the fire shall ever be burning. Don't let it go out. And there was a daily meat offering. It will be offered every day without stopping. There is no rest. It continuously goes on and on and on. Continuous burnt offering. In the Psalm 51, David said, my sin is ever before me. You know, in this life, we never get eradicated from us. I'm thankful for the Lord that he treats us as his children sometimes in a grocery store and holds us, restrains us from doing things. And if it wasn't for that restraining power, we'd do those things. It's God in us that makes us to both will and to do of his good pleasure. It's nothing in us. We don't have the capabilities or we don't have the understanding to do that. In the book of Isaiah, and my name continually, every day is blasphemed. Doesn't take us long to be in the world or be by ourselves to find out that is the truth. That in this world, the Lord's name is continuously blasphemed. What does that mean? I don't believe what the Bible says. That is a blasphemy about the name of the Lord God. I remember that preacher sharing with me when he was talking to his daughter. She says, you don't think I'm saved, do you? And he says, I know you're not. How do you know that? Because number one, you've never been a sinner. And number two, you don't believe the report about Christ. That puts us in a category of unbelievers. In Isaiah chapter 62, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62 as we look at this word a couple of more times, how it's translated. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, we have these words. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, it says, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. We don't know how blessed we are when we find out that God has set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem. Brother Lance Heller is a watchman upon the walls. Brother Gary Shepherd is a watchman upon the walls. What was it that those two men shared with us and other preachers have shared with us? Here as we read in the book of Isaiah, there in chapter 62 and verse 6, I set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yea, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. They never hold their peace. Those messages from those fellows was they always were preaching Christ and they never held their peace. That word in there that we have is they shall never. It is a continual. That is their call. That is their ministry. And that's what they know will God will use to change the lives of people. That's how he uses to save his people from their sins is to hear that continuous message and they will never cease from it. That's a promise from God that from the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He placed man upon it. Man fell. He gave the wonderful blessing in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that there will be the seed of the woman. The Messiah will come and take care of the problem. He will take care of sin. He will take care of the people and the sin of the people. He will have to be bruised in order to do it, but he will take care of his people. And here from that time, from the very beginning, God has been careful to declare the gospel to people on this earth. We might ask, why wasn't he with the Hittites? There was no sheep there. And that's the truth. Why was he with Israel? Because there were sheep there. Why is he down in New Guinea? Because there's sheep there. Why is he here? Because there's sheep here. And that's the only reason that God has ever had the gospel preached anywhere. There's sheep there. He has set a watchman upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. There was one of the last kings of Israel taken into captivity in the Babylonian captivity. He spent a lot of time in prison. And one day the king said, bring him up here. We're going to put some clothes on him, some new clothes, and he is going to sit at my table. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him. Every day he got to eat at the king's table. Continual diet. Well, when we look at this continual burnt offering found in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 5, it was morning and evening, special times, and on and on. And what is the Lord telling us with that? Why does he even mention that there is the necessity in those days and times of a continual burnt offering? This continual burnt offerings were to be a constant reminder that God had promised someone much better was coming and would be able to put away all the continual offerings for time and forever. These were just a picture, a type, and a shadow, and someone was coming, someone had been promised. Genesis 3:15 and all through the Old Testament, those heralds, those prophets, those preachers, those ministers, those gospel men were declaring that someone is coming to take care of the problem. They preached Christ and him crucified throughout the Old Testament, and that's what the Lord Jesus brings up when he's talking to the two on the road to Emmaus and also to his own 12 disciples. This must be fulfilled. Here are the pictures, here's the types, here's the shadows. And if you want to get involved in the Old Testament law, it is a continuous burden to keep up with it, and you never get to sit down. That's why people that are involved with the law, they're always busy because they never get to sit down. There's never any righteousness except self-righteousness. There is nothing that is satisfying. They're always looking for something else. They're always going to this place or that place. They're always interested in something new. And that's one thing that when Christ saves his people, we don't have to look at the weather vane. We look to Christ. What's popular today? It's mentioned in my study this morning that the millennials are leaving the established churches in droves. What is there to keep them? Ministers have no interest. They don't have a message. They don't have any hope. And you just can't share hope if you don't have any yourself. And so they are leaving. There's only one place, and it's the only place it has ever been, and that's the person Christ Jesus is the only one that is the Savior. And it's not an established church to begin with. My brother has said, I've tried it, it doesn't work. You better believe. Religion doesn't work and never has worked for anyone. But Christ, the sacrifice, the only sacrifice for sin, not a continual sacrifice as we find throughout the Old Testament. Someone much better is promised. And he is the Messiah. He's been promised and he's been promised to be much better than the continual offerings made throughout the history of Israel. They did it throughout their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They did it when they got into the promised land. They left, were taken out for 70 years. When they got back to Jerusalem, they were doing it some more. Why? That's what God wanted them to do, but it was a constant reminder every day. This isn't sufficient. This will not take away the sin of one person. One sin of one person. But the one that this pictures will take away all the sins of all of his people forever, and there will be the promise of eternal life given. If we only had the Old Testament, it would be quite apparent that there is no need to look for a Messiah coming the first time in our day. We read from Daniel chapter 9 last week. There was 483 years after the day that it was declared they were going to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls of Jerusalem, the Messiah would come. Well, we've got 2,500 years past that time that it was ordered. It's happened already. So if we only have the Old Testament, we know that the Messiah has had to be here. Well, we have the New Testament. When he came, he was born of a woman, born of a virgin, in the fullness of time. Daniel chapter 9, fullness of time. Exactly at the right moment, he arrived. The fullness of time. And we find, and would you join me for the rest of our lesson, our message in the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews takes and summates so much of the Old Testament and says, there's the word better is used in the book of Hebrews quite a number of times, and many of them are in with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ over the old system. In the old system, you went down there, there was a continual burnt offering. It went on until the time of Christ. During the time of Christ, when he was on this earth, there was a continual burnt offering. There was the Feast of Tabernacles. There was the Passover. There was the Feast of Weeks. Continual burnt offerings. It never took away sin. And there was new people coming on all the time. Those high priests were kind of like the judges on the Supreme Court. The only way you got out of it was to die. And when you died, someone else was appointed. But the work was never finished. as the moment Aaron died, his son took over and offered continual burnt offerings. And when he died, his son took over and there was continual burnt offerings. And when we get up to the Babylonian captivity and the release of these Jews from Babylonian captivity, one of the descendants of Aaron took over as the high priest and they offered continual burnt offerings. I have never tried to calculate how many burnt offerings that would be, but I'm just going to say close to a million. A million animal sacrifices, continual burnt offerings. That is just weary. I'm so thankful the grace of God was took care of it in Christ Jesus. And in AD 70, he said, even if they want to continue it, I'm going to take care of it and put it aside. No more continual burnt offerings. Do you realize there are, I hate to use this word, evangelical Christians that want to start that up again? They're hoping that Israel will build a temple so they can get that started again. Can you imagine the blasphemy? The continual burnt offerings have ceased because there has been a better offering given. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Now we have two words added, for all. That just gives us some understanding for how long it's going to take. Once for all time. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified to the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Those words were never given to Moses. Those words were never given to Aaron. Those words were never given to Eliezer. Those words were never given to a priest in the Old Testament. Once for all time, this will take care of it. It was always the continual burnt offering. But when we come to Christ, we find out that his offering was once for all time. Why? Because of the significance of the one that was offered. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, never could take away sin, never will take away sin, because they are animals. And you can't take an animal and offer a sacrifice for a human being. It has the picture and the type and the shadow. A man can't even do it because we're related to Adam. We have the sin strain. It's in the genes. There needed to be one that was promised by God from heaven above. Promised in the first promise made in the book of Genesis that the seed of the woman would come. No man would be interfering in this. Even Zacharias and his wife had a child in their old age, but it was by the natural process. But this one came when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and that which was in her was holy. So it's totally different. This is the God-man that has come. It tells us there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, and every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Takes us right back to Ezra chapter 3 and verse 5 with continual burnt offerings. Every high priest standing daily ministering. Can you imagine the amount of bleach it took to clean up their clothes? Daily, the offering of blood, picturing the one who would come to take care of the problem. Goes on to tell us there, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This one, the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he made one offering for sin, it was so sufficient that he never would ever, not in a century, not in a millennial, not in any time whatsoever, would he ever have to offer it again. There would be no continual offering with the Lord Jesus Christ once for all time because of whose blood it was, the Lord's blood. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. God has made every one that he purposed to be sanctified before the foundation of the world. And in that sanctification he said from eternity, they will be perfect because my blood is perfect, the sacrifice is perfect, the Son is perfect, he is holy and harmless and undefiled. Now, turn back with me in the book of Hebrews to chapter 1. The book of Hebrews has much to say about the Lord Jesus Christ being better than. There was a group of people in that day and time, just like there are today, whether they say it out loud or not, that have a high esteem for angels. There was a group of people that were even worshiping angels. They're very high beings. They're a step above us in their creation. It says angels visit the preaching of the gospel daily and wonder about it because they know nothing about grace. If they fell, there was never a purpose in God to redeem any of them. One-third fell with Satan when he fell. They are bound in chains in darkness. Those who did not fall have no understanding whatever of grace. It is not in their vocabulary. They look into it to see what it is. But here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, it speaks of Christ. These first three or four verses just elaborate the glory of the Son of God. And in verse 4, being made so much better than angels. Doesn't mean he was made, but he has declared himself in his very being. He is the creator. They are created. He is made so much better than the angels. As he hath an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What are they? What is he called? The Son of God. God's Son, the Messiah. All the Old Testament names brought together in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, so much better than the angels. There were cherubims that had their wings together over the tabernacle or in over the mercy seat. But the blood that was sprinkled was so much better than the angels that were there, even in those days. And so in Christ Jesus, he is a person. He is a being. He is God so much better than the angels. And in Hebrews chapter 7, would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, talking about those perpetual, ongoing, seemingly over and over continuous burnt offerings. In verse 19 of chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, for the law made nothing perfect. Every sacrifice that was offered never cleaned up one person. In fact, it made them dirty. But the bringing in of a better hope did. He is a better hope. Oh, I hope today it's taken care of. He's a better hope. He takes care of it. This one, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And in that same chapter in verse 22, for so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. The Old Testament, you obey it to the T. There is no slack. There is no room. It is absolute. There is no room in this. Either you love him with all your heart and mind and soul and spirit 24/7, 365 days a year, or you are right out. And what does that do for us? But the bringing in of a better testament, the new covenant, wherein this one, in the council halls of eternity, this one was set aside to be a surety or to be a propitiation or to lay down his life a ransom and to pay the price completely and in totality so that there would never, ever be another offering necessary. We can't even pray our way out of one sin, but his blood took care of all of them. The only thing we can do is ask God to forgive us. Guess what? He's done that. He's forgiven all his people of all their sin. But when it is brought to our attention, we have the blessed privilege of coming, Lord, forgive me, for I know not what I do. Realizing and completely satisfied that he's taken care of it all. In the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, by now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. Moses was a mediator of a covenant. Do or die. Christ is a mediator of a better covenant. Done and be saved. Done and live. I've taken care of it. He's a mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. My goodness, the promises of God. Yea and amen. I'll take care of all my people for all time. I will take care of them in this my Son, the Lord Jesus. He will be the ransom. He will be the offering. And there will be no need for a second one. Boy, if they'd have gone for a month, they'd have thought they'd have been on vacation. If they'd have gone for a week, the high priest said, I have time to go down for a vacation. But all those days, months and years, day after day, week after week, month after month, continuous burnt offering. And it's like that hand out in the middle of the desert pointing to the oasis. This is just a picture. Go that way to the one who is the true sacrifice for sin, and he'll take care of it once for all time. Now the scriptures teach us that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Abel was saved by the same blood that we are, on the promise that he would fulfill what was written in the covenant. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. There was a picture. This is how things are purified. But when it come to the heavenlies, it took a better sacrifice than all of these. If there was 1,000, we know there was 1,000, because there was more than that offered at the dedication of the temple. But let's just say there was only 1,000. All of that couldn't take care of what one took care of. But we have to go further than that, because there was more than 1,000. Let's say there was 100,000. We know that took place. There was several thousands taken care of at the dedication of the temple alone. They're in the wilderness for 38 years doing this. They get into the promised land for 500 years. By the end of that, they've kind of waning on some of it. But all those sacrifices, year after year after year after year, day after day, month after month, continual burnt offerings. They go into Babylonian captivity for 7 years. Nothing happens during that time. But as soon as they get back, they set up that altar and start it over by the command of God. And here we go up until the time of Christ, 500 years. and continuous burnt offerings. And all of those, that historical statement about the continuous burnt offerings, couldn't take care of what this man did in one offering of himself. The church says, thank God. The church says, thank you, Lord. I couldn't offer enough sacrifices in my life. I couldn't say enough prayers. I think I've told you that I had someone tell me he knew I wasn't saved because I'd never said I repented of my sins. I told that person, I don't have time. We sin by the second. I have one that took care of all my sins in his blood on the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Abel was killed by his brother. Who took Jesus Christ and crucified him? All his family. There are many similarities and types and shadows in the Abel in the Old Testament. But the blood of Christ even speaks of better things than Abel. He was a wonderful guy. He loved his mom and his dad and his brother, even though his brother was mean to him. Because he had the grace of God. He knew what was necessary to enjoy spiritual things, and that was God gave him the new birth, and that's the only reason he offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother. God gave him the new birth. He gave a picture and a type and a shadow of who would take care of his problem, of his sin, who had taken care of it. His brother rose up against him. He'd never done anything wrong to his brother. His brother rose up against him and killed him. God came down and says, where are your brother? And he says, I'm not my brother's keeper. He never was ashamed. He was never had a thought of meeting God in fear or anything. But that blood of Abel that spilled into this earth, the blood of Christ speaks of much better things. Many things are similar. Family rose up against. His family rose up against him, and his family rose up against Christ. But the blood of Abel had no efficacy in it. Couldn't take care of his own sin, not alone the sin of his brother. It saved no one. But the shedding of Christ's blood procured pardon, peace, reconciliation, and redemption. It is far greater than the blood of even Abel. Once more, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by the offering. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, for by one offering. One offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, by the offering of himself, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself that I might take it up again. And in Hebrews chapter 7, would you turn back there with me again? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Every time that high priest came out, the first thing he had to do was take care, picture of his own. That's the difference between that high priest and this high priest. He didn't have to take care of his own sin. He had none. So he took care of all those who would be king priests in his kingdom. All his children. He took care of their sin. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26. I just want to back up there. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. What's it mean, separate from sinners? He was accused of eating with sinners. He did. Sometimes I've kind of been flippant. People said, would you mind eating with us? And I says, well, even the Lord ate with publicans and sinners. He ate with sinners. He was around them all the time. But it says here, separate from sinners, his genealogy traced right back to glory. Didn't trace it back to the garden. Traces it back to glory. Made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice? Continuous burnt offerings. Can you imagine the amount of wood? The time. The global warming from the fires. First for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. Everyone that's trying to follow the law has an infirmity. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. He became sin for us who knew no sin. But he had no sin in himself. Sin was placed on him, imposed upon him for the sins of his people. But one offering for all time, he took care of all the problems that every one of his children had with God and God had with them in one sacrifice. No more continual burnt offerings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have continual intercession for us. We have continuous love for us, continuous grace for us, but no continual burnt offerings. It was taken care of in one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a ransom for his people.